Eternal Lord, gracious, gracious Father, we come into thy presence with our hearts thrilled with the music that we've heard, lifting us to heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where our intercessor for us ministers. Bless our meditation together, and may the thoughts of our minds and the feelings of our hearts be acceptable to thee, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. Some weeks ago, I bought a book called The Second Coming Bible. And I must confess that even though I am a Seventh-day Adventist minister, even though I have taught for many years in our colleges Bible, I was really surprised at the number of passages in the Bible that can be construed as applying to the Second Coming. I was amazed. Practically every book in the Bible, once you are alerted to this fact, contains many direct statements and even a larger number of indirect statements that focus on the second coming of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 24, and let's look at this verse, I think it's one of the most important that I ever consider, and I do it often. Verse 3. The disciples came to Jesus privately and said to him, When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? That was a double-barreled, direct question. When shall these things be? That had to do with the fall of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, the overthrow of the walls. When shall these things be? For not one stone will be left upon another. And then secondly, and of thy coming and of the end of the world. Jesus, in the next verse, answered to a direct statement, what shall be the sign of thy coming? Jesus answered. So the text that we shall consider constitute part of Christ's answer to the question, when will you come a second time? To underline that, while you keep your finger in Matthew 24, let's find Hebrews chapter 9. The last phrases in that verse 28 read, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The second advent of Jesus Christ is called the second coming of Jesus Christ in Anglo-Saxon. Advenio is Latin. Advent is Latin. The second advent of the second coming are different ways of saying the same thing. Christ will come a second time without sin unto salvation. To them that look for him. So there will be a group of people eagerly anticipating the second advent of Jesus. And to this group of people, the question and answer of Matthew 24, 3 and 4 and following are very important. What shall be the sign of thy coming? And Jesus answered and said. Now Luke records the same statement in Luke 21. In verse 25, Jesus says there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Luke 21:25. Signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. What were these signs? The sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. Those are the signs. The sun shall be darkened, the moon turned into the color of blood, and the stars fall from heaven. Now, the easiest place to find out about the sun being darkened is to look up Webster's unabridged dictionary, The Dark Day. May 19, 1780, the sun went out at 10 o'clock in the morning. Look it up for yourself. Sounds fantastic. Astronomers have never been able to account for it. I think I've read all the guesses and all the speculations, including forest fires. But when you've said it all, there is a great deal beyond that has never been explained. May 19, 1780, the dark day. That night the moon was full. Just as the Bible said, it became, one description, black as sackcloth of hair and red as blood. When does blood become red? When there's enough of it and it dries. When it becomes black, rather. When there's enough of it and it becomes dried. One time it appeared red and it gradually veered to black as sackcloth of hair. Same night, never been accounted for. Now the stars. The stars shall fall from heaven, Jesus says. As an untimely fig is shaken of a mighty wind, scatters its figs. November 13, 1833, the stars fell. Never before, never since, has there ever been such a shower of meteorites. Never. Read the eyewitness accounts. Then read again what Jesus said in answer to the disciples' question, what shall be the sign of thy coming? There shall be signs in the heavens, the sun and the moon and the stars. 1700 plus years after the disciples, those signs told us when the coming was near. 200 years ago. How much nearer is it than when we first believed? Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8. Signs in the earth. There shall be earthquakes and famine and pestilences. Kingdom shall rise against kingdom. Now, one of the fun books to get is Guinness Book of Records. Buy it. Get its paperback. Look up earthquakes. Look up epidemics. Look up famine. Book of Records. A record earthquake, a record famine, a record epidemics. We're all clustering in our age. Be signs in the earth. Nation rising against nation. Wars and rumors of war. Look at war. Most numerous, the greatest, largest number of casualties. What shall be the sign of thy coming? There shall be war. Sign war. In which tens and tens of millions of people are destroyed. He's seen no signs. Joel 3, verse 10, 9 and 10. In connection with these wars, proclaim this, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Weak nations. Nations that have just stepped from the Stone Age into the 20th century. Since the Second World War. Have got votes and can pack a punch never before dreamed. The weak say, I am strong. One waits thousands of years of human history for such things to happen. Our eyes have seen these things. James chapter 1, chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. So too now, ye rich men, weep and howl. Your riches are corrupted. Your gold and silver is canker. The rust of them shall witness against you. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. The hire of the laborers that have reaped your field is kept back by fraud, it crieth. Ye have lived in pleasure on earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your heart as in the day of slaughter. Be patient, brethren, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Riches, dwindling into nothing. Wealth in paper, disappearing. Labor troubles, crying out. And the message is, be patient, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You can take each of these signs that Christ gave through his prophets and through himself, and you can trace them through history. These events have been dormant, and suddenly in the last days they emerge. And impress the mind that has the insight to read. Luke 17. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom should come, now this was another occasion when the Pharisees asked him. He gave signs. There shall come, he says, false prophets. Men shall say, verse 21, lo here, lo there. Jesus says, don't believe it. Verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, given in marriage, till the day that Noah entered into the ark and destroyed them all. Eating, drinking, marrying, marrying again. Emphasis on gourmet food. On all kinds of luxuries. Just ask yourself, what happened between AD 31 when Christ was speaking this? And all the centuries until our century. And then say to yourself, what can you go into the supermarket today and buy? I go with Molly occasionally to push the cart. She said to me this week, you've got to see this. Quail's eggs. Quail's eggs. From pampered quail. Someday I must eat a quail egg omelette. That'll be all the quails in Kern County that will be enough to make an omelette that size. And of course, you've seen chocolate-coated bees. Hardly believe it, within 1 mile of the General Conference, they're selling that. Deep-fried ants. I think I could find you the address, if you're really interested, where you can get bear steaks from. There's a place in Chicago that supplies them all the year round. Frozen bear steaks. But apart from the ludicrous, just walk through a supermarket today and see what we can eat compared with what the Pilgrim Fathers ate from all over the world. Looking for all the luxuries and all the blessings and all the treasures of all the harvest fields of all the earth, we can reach over and stick it right into our cart. Go our way. Eating, drinking, booze from all over the world. If it comes from 10,000 miles and has been kept 25 years, it's got to be better. So you pay. Just before I came down here, I read of a banquet in Chicago, in San Francisco. Banquet in San Francisco. A bottle of wine valued at $1,200 plus was imbibed. Now somebody's got to be kidding, or got to be bananas, to spend $1,200 on a bottle of wine. They eat, they drink, they marry and they marry and they marry. They're at it. Right now, Jesus looked down 1900 years and says, this is what they're going to do. What shall be the sign of thy coming when you see them do this? This is the sign. Matthew 24:24. Adding to what I've already said, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. False Christs and false prophets. And through the various media by which men communicate their aberrations and false theories get multiplied and promulgated throughout the world. Clarion voices clamoring for our attention on every hand. They either have the name of Christ or the name of science attached to them. And most of them are neither Christian nor scientific. But they get a hearing. For those who have the disposition of Athenians, who are all the time looking for something new. Jesus said there would arise false Christs and false prophets to deceive, if it were possible, the very elect. Those who have chosen. Those that are with him, John tells us, are called and chosen and faithful. Every Christian has to choose. Nobody is born a Christian. Let us that by again. Nobody is born a Christian. The only way to become a Christian is to be born again. You've got to choose. I've appreciated the statement and repeated it many times. God has no grandchildren. He only has sons and daughters. who have chosen to come into this relationship. And those who have elected to enter this relationship, even those, Christ warns, are subject to the delusions of the false ideology. How can we check? Upon what basis can we decide whether something that has been promulgated is true or false? Very, very simply. This book contains the criteria. To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. Every ideal must be brought into contact with the revealed word of God if it finds corroboration in the consensus of that teaching. It is true. If it does not, it is false. I hear occasionally, you can prove anything from the Bible. I would like to declare emphatically that you cannot. You can take the words that are in the Bible and string them together, make them say anything. That's not what the Bible is saying. You must get the consensus of the Bible. I repeat this wish occasionally, hoping that one day it will come to pass, that all the concepts in the Bible might be put on a computer. You can find them, but it takes a little longer. But if they were all on a computer, in the memory bank of a computer, and you could say, what does the Bible teach about the second coming? Press a button and have the printout there that gives you the consensus. There'd be no debate. No debate. What are the signs of the coming? Press another button. Let the consensus of the Bible teaching. Any intelligent person with the help of a concordance can get the consensus of the Bible on any topic that he wishes to get. Get all the statements in the Bible made on that topic. And then let the chips fall where they may. Don't take it isolatedly. Don't say, but this, but that. Let the Bible speak for itself. Like this second coming Bible. Get every text, see what it says. On any topic that the Bible brings. God's not fooling us. God's not providing conundrums that we'll never answer. The disciples said in this topic that we're considering today, what shall be the sign of thy coming at the end of the world? And Jesus answered them. He gave them a straight answer. In connection with the false prophets, let's find 1 Timothy 4. Apostle Paul, with the Spirit of Christ inspiring him, 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Turn to the next epistle, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times shall come. We have seen in the last 25 years, perilous times. When we first went to Tacoma Park in 1948, one could walk along Rock Creek Park and Sligo Creek Park and Long Branch Parkway any time of the day or night. I was going to the seminary that year for the summer, and I'd study from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock in the evening. And then at 8 o'clock, I went for my hike. For an hour and a half or so, before I went to bed. Nothing. I wouldn't go there now. You talk to the denizens of Tacoma Park, and they say, don't go out after dark, unless you have 5 German shepherds and 3 baseball bats. one of the dentists. It was a friend of mine there. Acquaintance, rather. Go out for a hike in the evening. He had nothing with him except his house key. Nothing. No pocketbook. He was held up because the person who held him up couldn't find anything. He beat him up, knocked his teeth out with the butt of his revolver. Right there in Tacoma Park. Perilous time shall come. We've reached the time. This is what we've been looking for. We've found it. And then from verse 2 to verse 5, 19 signs are brought to our notice. 19 signs. Well, already today I've given you about 35. You can multiply them. There are many, many signs. Signs of Christ's coming. Now, what does Jesus tell us we ought to do? How have we got to act when this takes place? Matthew 24. Verse 42. Watch, therefore, for ye know not the hour when your Lord doth come. Nobody in his right mind ever tries to set a date. We don't know. Jesus Christ said he himself didn't know. And if he doesn't know, I sure don't know. But what does he tell us? Watch, therefore. For in such an hour as ye know not, your Lord doth come. We are to watch. How are we to watch? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Watch and search the Scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. Watch and gain forgiveness. See, the gospel is an amazingly encouraging philosophy of life. Amazing. It does two things very beautifully and very simply. If you read the Bible, you will suddenly become conscious of areas of need. Let him that stole, steal no more. Speak ye the truth, every one to his neighbor. Two of the commandments. Now when the commandment comes, Paul says, sin revived and I was slain. But what did he do? He turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gained forgiveness. He suddenly discovered that before he even recognized Christ, Christ had forgiven him his sin. And there is not a day that passes by in my ministry when I underline this truth to those I visit. God doesn't forgive you your sins when you commit them. He forgave them on Calvary. You accept that forgiveness any minute you like to claim it. He's already forgiven you. He's already pardoned you. He's already paid the penalty. He's already died for you. He is in highest heaven ever interceding for you, sending his Spirit into my heart and into your heart, making impressions on my mind. Les, this is the area you better get right. This is something you better square up. Make it right. And his promise is, if he confesses your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. The only persons who are left with guilt feelings after that are the people who have not confessed and accepted the forgiveness. And that I want to underline. We must accept it. It doesn't matter how the ex-president feels. The President of the United States has pardoned him. The pardon is through the power that the Constitution vests in the President. It doesn't matter how we feel about our sins. Jesus has pardoned our sins. We must accept that pardon. It is so not because I feel any different, but because he has promised that there is a difference. Jesus has given us the signs of his coming and of the end of the world and tells us to watch and pray and search and confess and be ready. What are we waiting for? Are we hanging on to some darling sins? Some cherished idols? Forsake, confess, and implore him for power, that his grace might sustain. Let's pray. Eternal Father, we thank thee, praise thy name, for the insights thou hast given to us concerning the times and the seasons. We thank thee, praise thy holy name, for the forgiveness of sins, for the power of the Spirit, for the guidance of thy grace, for the hope that thou hast given to us. Help us, Lord, to accept. May no soul go out of this place of worship, I pray, with guilt on his soul, with doubt and fear and foreboding. Pardon, I beseech thee, eternal Father. Cleanse by the alchemy of thy blood, strengthen by thy all-conquering grace, and may this thy people be acceptable in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.